بسم الاب والابن والروح القدس الاله الواحد تحل علينا نعمته وبركته الان وكل اوان ولدهر الدور كلها امين.
Today the 16th day of the blessed month of Misra, may God end it in goodness and renew it for us in peace and tranquility. While our sins and iniquities are forgiven through the tender mercies of our Lord, my fathers and my brethren, amen. On this day was the assumption of the body of our pure lady, St. Mary, the Mother of God. While she was keeping vigil, praying in the Holy Sepulchre, and waiting for the happy minute for her liberation from the bonds of the flesh, the Holy Spirit informed her of her forthcoming departure from this vain world. When the time drew near, the disciples and the virgins of the Mount of Olives came, and the lady was lying on her bed. Our Lord, surrounded by thousands and thousands of angels, came to her. He counseled her and announced there the everlasting joy which was prepared for her. She was happy, and she stretched out her hands, blessed the disciples and virgins. Then she delivered up her pure soul in the hand of her Son and God Jesus Christ, who ascended here to the higher habitations. As for the pure body, they shrouded it and carried it to Gethsemane. On their way, some of the Jews blocked the way in the face of the disciples to prevent the burial. One of them seized the coffin. His hands were separated from his body and remained hanging until he believed and repented for his mischievous deed. With the prayers of the holy disciples, his hands were reattached to his body as they had before. They had been before. St. Thomas was absent at the time of St. Mary's departure, but he came after the burial. On his way back from India to Jerusalem, St. Thomas saw a vision, angels carrying St. Mary's pure body and ascending with it to heaven. And one of the angels said to him, "Hurry and kiss the pure body of St. Mary." When he arrived to the disciples, they informed him about St. Mary's departure. He told them, "I will not believe unless I see her body. As you all know, how I did doubt the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ before." They took him to the tomb to uncover the body, but they did not find it, and they were perplexed and amazed. St. Thomas told them how he saw the pure body ascending to heaven, carried by the angels. The Holy Spirit then told them the Lord did not will to leave her holy body on earth. The Lord had promised his pure apostles that they would see her in flesh another time. They were waiting for the fulfillment of this truthful promise until the 16th day of the month of Misra. So it means not the departure of St. Mary, the mother of God today, but the appearance of her pure body to the disciples according to the requests from our Lord Jesus Christ. Until that 16th day of the month of Misra, when the promise of seeing her was fulfilled, St. Mary's life on earth was 60 years. May her intercession be with us. Amen. On this day also of the year 1391, on a martyr, August 15th, 1675, Anno Domini, Pope Matthias IV, Matthew's 102nd patriarch, departed. He was known as Matthias El Miri, El Baba Matta El Miri. This father was born to pious Christian parents who were righteous, merciful, and benevolent. They were of the rich people of the city of Mir, Ashmunin district, the diocese of Usim, which is known as El Muharraq. They had vast farm land and livestock. They had three boys. One of them was this righteous father. He was the closest to his parents, and his name was Girgis. They raised him with prudence and brought him up with good manners and decency. They never asked him, his brothers to work on the farm or attend to the livestock. Instead, he dedicated himself to reading and learning until he became more informed about the holy books than his contemporaries. He was able to explain and interpret their meanings to those who had difficulties with them. When he grew up, he renounced this vain world and went to the monastery of St. Mary, known as El Baramos, in the wilderness of Shahid, where he stayed for 6 years. He saw in a dream that his parents were grieved over him, for they thought that he was dead, since they had not found him. Immediately, he informed his brothers in the monastery, who advised him to go to his hometown to see his parents. He went to Mir and greeted his parents, who became exceedingly happy when they saw him alive. Afterwards, they wished to wed him. But when the saint learned from a friend what his parents intended to do, he escaped and returned again to the monastery. The monks welcomed him back and with great joy. He lived with these holy men in love and faithful service. So they nominated him to the monastic rank. Then he was ordained a priest for the monastery, and after a short time, he wore the scheme. He exhausted himself with vigilance, prayer, worships, and kneeling more than was required from the other monks. He fasted from sunset to sunset of the next day, and in the winter he fasted 2 days at a time. He kept this manner all the days of his life until he realized the favor of God because of his good deeds, acceptable worship, and asceticism. When Pope Marcus the 101st patriarch departed, the bishops, priests, and the laymen leaders sought a new righteous shepherd to ordain in his place. They asked the monks of the wilderness and the monasteries to guide them to one fit for this position. The monks guided them to this father. When they asked him to come to Mr. Kairiani, he refused to comply with their request. So they were forced to send a soldier from the government who seized him and brought him to Mr. Meanwhile, the people of Mr. seized another righteous priest called John and wanted to ordain him patriarch. And as a result of that, a conflict developed. The governor apprehended the two candidates and imprisoned them for 40 days. When the matter prolonged, the bishops met and decided to cast an altar lot, which was done before all of the congregation. The soldiers also cast among them another lot in the government building. Each time they drew the lot, it fell on Gerges. One night, the soldiers of the governor saw a burning candle hovering over Father Gerges' head while he was in prison. Finally, they nominated this father after the considerable contentions, and all the congregation was pleased. He was ordained on the Sunday 30th of Hathor, 1377, Anno Martyr, December 1660, after Christ, the reign of the Ottoman Sultan Muhammad IV. The celebration of his ordination was a splendid and grand celebration, which was attended by many of the other Christian denominations. When he was enthroned as the patriarch in the patriarchal cell at Harizuela, he considered marital and family matters and church affairs in stern, just and fair judgments. He was meek and humble, disliked attention and exultedness, so he never sat on a chair in the church, but stood beside it until the end of the service. He visited widows, orphans, and prisoners, and cared for the monks in the monastery, fulfilling their needs. He cherished the monasteries and the churches as he lived a simple life, as those monks lived in the wilderness. During his papacy, the church was in peace and tranquility, and the church was enlightened with his grace. In the year 1387, Anno Martyr, 1671, Anno Domini, a grievous plague befell Egypt, which perished many, and ordained two successive metropolitans for Ethiopia after the departure of its metropolitan Johannes the 13th. The first was Amba Christozolo II, who remained on the chair from 1665 to 1672, during the reign of King Vasilides. The second was Amba Shnuda I, who remained on the chair from 1672 to 1694, during the time of John I, Pope Matthias was the last to dwell in the patriarchal cell at Harizuela, for he moved his residency to Hartulum in 1660. Just after his ordination and during his papacy, Pope Matthias endured some hardships. The devil entered the heart of a Christian man and motivated him to go to the tax collector, to other tax Christians, overtax the Christians, which put a great burden on them. They complained to the Pope, who sent for the tax collector. The Pope forbade him, but he did not cease his wicked act. The Pope excommunicated him, and the man died in horrible death. Another time, a woman came to the Pope complaining that her husband had divorced her and married another woman. The Pope sent for him and asked him to come with his second wife. When this man came, the Pope ordered him to go to be separated. But the second wife refused, saying, "How can that be while I am pregnant with this child?" Then the Pope said, "The Lord Christ will judge between the two marriages." Just as the second woman left the Pope's cell, she aborted and fetus came out of her womb. A great fear transpired before this incident. Because of this incident, the man separated from her and returned to his first wife. Pope Matthias became respected, honored, and revered by his people. Another time, some infidels wanted to demolish St. Macarius. St. Marcorius Abu Sifin of the Two Sword Church at Old Cairo. They went to the government office and appointed someone in charge of this matter. When the Pope heard about their intentions, he grieved much and spent the night's vigil beseeching God and interceding with St. Marcorius to annul their conspiracy and save the church from destruction. While the soldiers were asleep around the church, a wall fell on them. They all died, and the news spread around the city. The wicked conspiracy was annulled, and everyone glorified God. During Pope Matthias' days, the enemy of good stirred up the unbelievers against the Christians, but Christ, to whom is the glory, always vanquished their counsel and perished them through the prayers of Pope Matthias, for he shepherded the flock of the Christ faithfully. When the time of his departure drew near, he went to the tomb of the patriarchs in Misr and said to it, "Open and receive me, so I can dwell with my righteous brothers." After he returned to his residence, he fell sick with the illness of death. He called the bishops and priests and commanded them on the flock, commended them on the flock of Christ. He also called the abbess of the convent and gave her all he had and asked her to hand them to his successor, as they were the property of the church. Then he departed in peace at the good old age, after he had remained on the chair of St. Mark for 14 years, 8 months and 9 days. He was 75 years old and was buried in the tomb of the patriarch in the old in the church of St. Marcorius in Old Cairo. The chair remained vacant after him for 7 months. May his prayers be with us. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Oh.
Yeah.